Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you as we close out this year and usher in a new year together. You ever think back over the years when things would get you in trouble in school? I know I can think of a time or two or three, maybe four, that I got in trouble. It used to be issues like skipping class or running in the halls, talking over the teachers, those kinds of things. Those are probably still issues and always will be, but over certain things have become bigger issues over the years, like drugs, alcohol, gang violence, those kinds of things. Well, there's a story of a teacher who walked over to a group of kids who were huddled in the corner of the gym and on their knees. And she walked over and sternly asked, "What are you doing over here?" And one boy looked up and says, "We're rolling dice." She says, "Oh, thank goodness. For a minute there, I thought you were praying." It's a sad commentary, isn't it, of what should be a natural process for us to have that connection with a loving Father who wants to guide us and to be a part of our lives. Sometimes I think many lose the reality of that. But there is probably no better passage that brings that back into focus than our gospel reading that we heard today. This is another one of those passages that we hear every year on the first Sunday after Christmas. It might be glossed over by many as just an introduction to John's gospel, called the prologue. But these verses are so powerful as they unfold the magnificence of the Godhead. Because this is real. Something has happened to John, like all the other disciples, and he wants to convey it in a powerful way. There's excitement in it. There is certainly power involved. We should read the whole Bible, but all of us may have special passages in the Bible that we like. Maybe it got us through a hard time in our lives, or maybe we want to use certain passages for encouragement in our lives. I have several like that, but this one is right up there on the top of my list as being one of my favorite passages of Scripture. On Christmas Eve, I spoke about the journey that mankind has been on through the ages of history. Today, I want to continue on this journey together as we explore this passage, because that is what John is doing here. He, in his prologue, he is dialoguing a journey. It is rich in describing just who Jesus is as he unfolds this journey in this passage. So let's break it down a bit. John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If we go back and read Genesis, we see how God created the heavens and the earth, and he brought light into the darkness. Out of chaos, he created something beautiful with purpose. Look at the heavens. Look at life. God did something wonderful. Science is a wonderful tool. We use science a lot as we discover things around us. It helps us a lot. But sometimes science can become like a religion to many. Some have such a passion to disprove something through science that their passion becomes a thing to worship. A few years back, Ben Stein, in his documentary movie, Expelled, asked a leading scientist in evolution, Richard Dawkins, where did life come from? He had gone through this whole movie, and this is at the very end of the movie, and he sits down with Dawkins, and he asked him, Dawkins is an atheist, and Dawkins came to the reality that maybe when you narrow it down, this is what Stein was trying to get him to do, narrow down the basic cell of life, and where did life enter that? Where did life come from? And his only response by this scientist was that maybe a supreme being brought us here, aliens brought us here, and it grew out of that. He could not bring himself to the fact that maybe there is a God. John tells us, all things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. God spoke his word, and it came to pass. God created life, and he has created man and woman and put his spirit in them. They were to live a life that is above all other creatures on earth. He gave them intelligence and the ability to grow and to discover as they grew. That is no mistake. That is something special that God has done. And when you actually look at the incredible odds of any of this just randomly happening, by happenstance, the odds are absolutely off the charts. On top of that, he gave us this incredible gift to choose, our free will. God gave this gift because he wanted people to choose to be in fellowship with him. We're not puppets. Not to worship him because we have to, but because we choose to, out of our love for him and the relationship we have with him. And even though there are, through this separation, through choosing to rebel against God, God's word always has been. He was in the beginning with God. Through the centuries, through the numerous words of the prophets, as God has been calling us back to himself, Jesus was in all of that. He knew history. He saw it unfold. Jesus also knew that at the right time, in the right place, he would become one of us to bring redemption, to bring salvation. And this is where John becomes passionate about his proclamation. Jesus was in the beginning. He saw the fall of man. He saw history unfold. And then John writes this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, John is emphasizing what he and the apostles experienced. This is real again, not just a story, not just a bunch of rules. God is real. He came to us. That is real. He breaks all the barriers of man's religious beliefs, no matter what, no other faith can claim such a claim as we have in Jesus. Because there is only one creator, and he came only once for redemption, and he will come again for judgment. God is a relational God who desires us to have a unique personal relationship with people. He isn't a God that we have to work our way to. He isn't a God that requires all kinds of knowledge to get there, like the Gnostics believe. He is a God who came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wanted to make right what was wrong with mankind. He wanted to create a way that we can get back to the Father and do it as a matter of choice. From the very beginning, Christ has been a part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is the Word made flesh. But look what else what John says. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right," or the power, as some translations say, "to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now think about that for a moment. God has given us the power or the right to become children. What an honor and blessing and privilege that is. That's not something that comes automatically, as some New Age theology teaches. It's something given to us as we receive him into our lives. John says, all who receive him, all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. There has to be an act of faith. There has to be an act of calling on his name. There has to be a birthing of our spirit that turns away from sin and towards God. Salvation is not just words we say. It's a turning of the heart from one direction going to another direction. That leads right into the arms of Jesus. Paul emphasizes this in our epistle reading that we read today. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's a masculine form of everybody. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit and his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Almost every news agency this time of year has videos of military personnel coming home for Christmas or for New Year's. And there's always an element of surprise as the child, husband, and wife or wife come together and the children run to their mom or to their dad into their arms to greet them because they've been gone for so long. That's what God wants from us. With Christ in our lives, our cry out is, God, Father, Abba, Daddy, I'm here. That's how close God wants us to be to him. But sometimes even Christians can push God away, try to keep him at arm's length, to keep him at a distance. Some are afraid for whatever reason, and there could be many. But God wants to change that. He wants to mold us into something beautiful. Isaiah 64:8 tells us, Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Using that metaphor, a potter will take a pile of dirt, clay, add some water to it, put it on a wheel, and begin to mold whatever the potter wants to make. And out of that comes something beautiful, a work that is special and now has purpose. One of our parishioners, Beatty Collins, as a matter of fact, several years ago, made this for us. He took a pile of dirt, put it on a wheel, and made a chalice and a pallet. We use that every Lent for the last several years. Makes something beautiful out of a pile of dirt. And that's exactly what God does with us. God wants to reach into those areas of our lives and begin to mold something beautiful out of it. He takes the old and makes something new. Do you believe that? There is no doubt that Adam and Eve were created perfect and in God's image. There is no doubt that we were created in Adam's image, as Genesis 5 tells us, and that comes with inherited sin. We have taken on the sin nature. But God wants to do so much more in our lives. He wants us to become his children. He has provided an opportunity of redemption. John speaks of it as light. Jesus brings light, which is new life, where there was once darkness, which is life without him. John is passionate about what has taken place. And why is he so passionate? Because John has been on a journey that continues in his life up to this point. Listen to his passion from his first epistle. He wrote two epistles as well. His first epistle says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. John is reflecting on a lot of things here. He has seen the Lord. He's experienced the Lord. He has witnessed what the Lord did. He was there on that mountain during the transfiguration and saw the Lord in his glory. But beyond that, he, as well as the other disciples, have now also experienced a heart change in their lives. He has experienced God's Spirit filling him with his power. He has moved into experiencing God in the here and now. That's why, despite all the opposition that life gave to the Apostle John and the other disciples, even to death, they were passionate about their relationship with the Lord. That which they knew made them complete. The Word made flesh is Jesus. And that Word comes alive in us as well. God's Spirit never changes. His Word never changes. He put all things in their courses for our benefit. He has given us an opportunity to live and move in that order under his direction. I want to encourage all of you today to allow that word to come alive in you. I know most of you have that, but allow it to really blossom even more. We can never get enough of God. None of us can. But allow the word to saturate you in the very core of your being. Allow the word to flow out of you, and as you turn more and more of your life over to him, as people will see that as a reflection in you as well. The word made flesh still dwells among us, and by his life-giving spirit will transform you and use you in wonderful ways. That's why our prayer should always be, Lord, give me your word. Lord, I receive you. Allow me to learn from you. Allow me to grow in you. Allow your spirit to fill me with your presence daily. And then see what he will do through you as we continue to grow in him, not only as individuals, as a parish, and as a community of Christ, the body of Christ around the world. May we always be seeking after him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you that we can grow in that. We can be filled with your spirit. We can walk in you, knowing that you are with us and walking the walk that you have called us, Lord, as we choose to follow you, Lord. We thank you, and we ask that you would use each person here in this place as we leave this building today, that we would see magnificent things happening in and through us as we open our lives up to you. Come, Holy Spirit, come in your power and use us in mighty, mighty ways. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.